Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Az from FPL Bad Box.
And I'm Oscar, FPL Focal.
Oscar, what a weekend of Premier League action. Players returning from AFCON, injuries, new signings to discuss as well. We'll dive into all the games, of course. But first, let's start with our Game Week 22 teams. How did it go for you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, actually. Yeah, it was a bit of a strange game week because my entire team literally played on Saturday. So, yeah, my team was done by Saturday night. Ended up on 42 points all out, which was a small green arrow to 54K. Yeah, Lefebvre's been like my big differential. He's about 1% owned and he scored. So I was buzzing with that. Mukiele assisted, who I also had. And it felt like a bit of redemption because I bought him for penalties and then he goes and misses one the week before that. I did have Van Dijk, Gakpo and Ekitike tripled up for Burnley home.
And obviously, Gakpo? That's an interesting one.
Yeah, I've been really patient like rolling transfers. I've got up to four and I just felt like let's use one to sort of attack a fixture. And I foolishly picked that Burnley home game for Liverpool. Brought in Gakpo for Cunha. Obviously, Cunha got that assist off the bench. But yeah, 6 points between Van Dijk, Gakpo and Ekitike. So that was a bit of a disaster. And Captain Haaland blank. But yeah, all things considered, like, I can't complain to get a green arrow. Yeah, how did you get on?
Yeah, I mean, I got 40, so a little bit less than yours. I was really disappointed with Ekitike. He was the main one. Obviously, held him through that injury scare he had. Really hoping for some returns against Burnley. Didn't get them, just 2 points of him. But I was cursing because I switched the captaincy from Ekitike to Haaland. Watched him blank against Man U and thought, oh, now it's going to be a bit weird. If Ekitike does well, I'm going to be a bit annoyed because he's not my captain. But in the end, 2 points. I mean, it was a pretty... I think most people had a pretty... meh game week this week. I think if you've got around 35, 45 points, you're probably pretty happy, right? I'm not seeing too many big scores out there.
No, and I've seen quite a few bench disasters as well. So if you're listening, you've benched some points, then you're definitely not alone. You know, like Tarkowski and Dorgu. Should we talk about the Manchester derby first? Because that was a crazy game to start the game, wasn't it? Carrick's first game. Couldn't have gone much better, really, could it? I think genuinely might have been Man United's best performance of the season. So... don't know, new manager bounce, or do you reckon like Carrick's going to bring a new lease of life to United? What did you think of the game?
Well, I thought it was the best I've seen Man U play in years, probably. It was back to like when they had Solskjaer in as interim and they were playing this really exciting attacking brand of football. I think they were helped by the fact Man City's back line was just ravaged by illness and injury and they just looked completely unsettled from pretty much the first minute. But I thought, man, you were great. It was just a perfect storm, wasn't it? They had all their players back from AFCON. They put Bruno in the 10 and they were just absolutely dominant. I'm not sure they're going to have the same amount of dominance away at Arsenal. But yeah, I think if we're looking at Manchester United players from 24, I think, you know, that's the perfect time to invest, surely.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at selling Foden in 24 to Bruno. It just feels like a fairly obvious move. 62 chances created this season by Bruno, which is 21 more than anyone else. Yeah, it was such a good Man United performance. Like high intensity, like sharp passes, great finishing. I think you could say 2-0 flattered City. It was 3.81 expected goals from Man United, 0.47 for Man City. And there was three offside goals as well, not included in that. Yeah, some interesting choices, right? Like Cunha and Cesco both benched for Carrick's first game. And it was Mbeumo straight away on his return from AFCON playing up top. He did come off at 71 minutes, but I was really impressed by him. And I think he's an interesting one if he carries on playing up top, especially.
Yeah, I think the problem is with Man U, other than Fernandes, it's like, who's going to play? Where are they going to play? I mean, obviously, Cunha was very popular going into this game. I think he's one of the most sold players, though, benched. Came off the bench, got an assist. Could have had another assist as well for that second disallowed goal. But I just wonder, like, there's no cup games, there's no European games. It's going to be interesting how Carrick manages because there's a big squad. They've been, you know, been buying players and not too many have gone out the door. So I do worry a little bit about, you know, players like Cunha, players like Cesco, if you're thinking of him. But I think Fernandes and Mbeumo are the ones. I mean, the other one is Ahmad, right? Because he was great for Spurs last season. Yeah, what do you think of him? Or is there the worry that Mbeumo goes over to the right and then Cesco plays through the middle?
Yeah, I think if I was going to pick two Man United mids, I'm likely to go Bruno and Mbeumo. But yeah, Ahmad's an interesting one. You never know when a new manager comes in, different tactics, different approach. He's got his favourite players. So yeah, I'm not ruling him out. But I think Bruno definitely. And then I might just sort of see what happens with the other Man United mids. Because obviously... and Mbeumo's playing up top, like he's prone to those early subs. He came off at 71 minutes. So there is that, you know, potential for Cunha or Cesco to come on for him if he carries on lining that lining up that way even. Haaland blank again. That's seven games where he's not scored an open play goal now in all competitions. Crazy.
Well, City just interesting, aren't they? Because like, what do we do with their players? Even Wolves at home. I mean, a bit of a spoiler. I don't know if I'm going to regret it, but I got rid of Foden.
Did you?
I got rid of him after that match. I had the exact money to get to do Foden to Fernandes, and I did it, and now I'm looking at him thinking, if Foden does start in that game against Wolves, but also I'm thinking there's just so many players now for those attacking positions. I mean, I forgot Reinders was even there, like, you know, to play, potentially play in that attacking, like, midfielder role. So I think it might hurt me a bit this week. If Foden's in that starting 11, I think it could hurt, but I think you just want Fernandes, right? And I think City players in general, I mean, what City players would you consider at the moment? It's so hard to know which ones to go for.
Yeah, I'm looking to kind of shift them on, to be honest with you. And obviously with the Semenyo arrival, like, there could be games where, well, there was. Cherky was the one that missed out, right? He was on the bench. But yeah, it's a risky one, selling him before Wolves home. However, Wolves are actually fourth in the league for expected goals conceded over the last six game weeks. So they've really turned a corner. They're unbeaten in five games in all competitions. And Foden, Pep said he had a broken hand, or he broke some bones in his hand. He is still in the Champions League squad, so he's going to be involved midweek, or at least he'll be on the bench. Maybe he'll start. So yeah, it's a risky one for sure. But Bruno, I don't know. He's always got good DEFCON potential, if nothing else. Arsenal away is like as tough as fixtures come. But yeah, I think I can see it. You've gone a week earlier than I will be, but I don't mind it. Obviously, the last thing to talk about there is Guay to Man City. What do you make of that for 5.3 mil?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great move, isn't it? I think for both parties, he's been the key man at Palace for ages, the captain. He's had an unbelievable season, really, after the move to Liverpool sort of fell through. And you watch that Man United game and City need him, don't they? I mean, over the season, City have been really high on the underlying data, like defensively, you know, well in the top four for defensive numbers. I think O'Reilly owners will be cursing there hasn't been, you know, the clean sheets have been few and far between. But
yeah, I've got him. So yeah, yes, can confirm.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking to buy a City player, I think a City defender, I probably would be looking at Gehi, but I don't know if I would be looking to buy a City defender. That's the only thing. I never really trust them, even when the data's good. I never really trust them because teams know they can get at them, but. Yeah, if you had him, you keep him, right? I don't think you'd be selling him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he switched over to Man City now in FPR. I've seen some teams out there, by the way, that are sitting on five City assets. So they've got, you know, like Haaland, Foden, Cherky, Semenyo, Guay. So obviously when you're in that situation, you have to spend transfers to get rid of them. You have to be on a triple up max. So that's how it works.
If you're bad Wolves at home.
Yeah, to be fair, I'd probably just roll behind a quintuple City. But I think he's all right for 5.3 mil. He wasn't actually great for DEFCON at Palace, but he was getting lots of goal involvements. So yeah, I think he could be a good asset. In theory, he should be totally nailed left centre back. Vardy out for the season or thereabouts. So I don't mind him, but I think I'll have to come back to that one because there's more pressing moves. The other player I'm looking at for Game Week 24 is Enzo. I'm not sure if I'll go Palmer. Chelsea beating Brentford 2-0. João Pedro scoring. That was an Enzo assist. Don't know if you saw the goal. It's kind of just like an intercepted pass, which obviously still counts as an assist. So he's one I'm looking at because of that fixture run that Chelsea have got from Game Week 24. It's something like West Ham, Wolves, Leeds, Burnley, something like that. That might be the wrong order, but yeah, the fixture run is unbelievable. You could actually make the case of buying Enzo this game because they've got Palace away, who obviously are in disarray themselves. Yeah. You know, the things that Glasner's been saying, his press conferences, losing his captain, these sorts of things. Chelsea played in like a 4-2-4 build-up shape, so Enzo's still playing an advanced role, still sort of box crashing. Are you looking at Chelsea assets?
I think you have to, right? Because the fixtures are so good. I think from 24, you couldn't really have a better run starting with West Ham at home. I think there's some question marks around what Rossini is going to do with the defence. You know, if new recruits are going to come in at centre-back, if the new signs are going to be made, what they're going to do, like attacking-wise. Because if Palmer, I mean, you saw Palmer after the match, holding his groin, didn't look comfortable, didn't look happy at all. I've been talking to some Chelsea fans who were at the game, and they said he had a really, really poor game, genuinely. Like, he doesn't look like up to the levels that he's been in previous seasons. So I think if you're going to invest, I think you probably have to look at Enzo at the moment. I mean, Palmer feels like a bit too much of a punt given his price, unless maybe you're moving Saka over to him, because I think the Haaland and Fernandes option is so strong. I mean, I wouldn't be prioritizing Palmer over Fernandes in 24. Let's put it that way. But the defense does look good. And I keep finding excuses not to go for Sanchez in goal, but he keeps delivering. Keeps delivering points.
Yeah, exactly the same. I was looking at potentially dropping Raya down to Sanchez to then free up the Gabriel spot, but I decided against it. I just wasn't sure, you know, new manager coming in, does he give both keepers a chance? But overthinking, obviously, 11-pointer, I think it was for Sanchez. Yeah, I can't justify Palmer and what he's shown on the pitch. Obviously, he did score the penalty. He actually hit DEFCON as well, but what's Enzo, like 3 million or something cheaper? I just would rather that. For me, it's like the combination. So it's Enzo and Watkins or Palmer and Krupe. I just feel like that first combination is so much better. It doesn't have to be Watkins. It could just be a premium mid next to Enzo instead. But I just prefer him right now because FPL is basically all about squeezing the most points per million out of players. And I just think Palmer isn't good for points per million. And when he's not even looking that great, I don't know if I'd be comfortable captaining him. So yeah, I'm looking at Enzo myself. What do you think about Thiago? Have you got Thiago?
I do have Thiago. Yes.
So obviously, they've got Forest home. So I suppose you hold. You could make a case for selling because they've got, I mean, Forest home actually isn't an easy fixture, depending on what Forest we see. And then it's Villa away, Newcastle away, Arsenal home. So I actually think you could make a case for selling him, despite how well he's doing this season. Have you got any plans of him or are you holding?
I guess the question is, where do you go with him, right? Because one of the reasons why I didn't sell him a few weeks ago, when I know a lot of people did, was because I looked at the other forward options and just didn't really know who to pair with Haaland at the time. I mean, I know there's Calvert-Lewin, who's in that incredible run of form. I sold him a little while ago. I'm not bringing him back. He's already ruined my season, you know, too much. But, you know, Thiago is nailed on. He's on penalties. Brentford are a very good side. They're, you know, they're proving they can compete with anyone. I mean, even in that Chelsea game, I mean, the XG between Chelsea and Brentford was incredibly tight. 1.59 for Chelsea, 1.52 for Brentford. And Thiago is managing to get goals in games that we might not necessarily think he can get goals in. And especially with Dango back, potentially winning some penalties. Yeah. So I think I've got bigger problems than Thiago. But if I was wildcarding, or, you know, if I had quite a few free transfers, I do think it might be an opportunity to go off quite a heavily owned player. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, similar, really. I think I've just got other priorities, so I'll keep him. But if I was like game week 24, there's lots of fixture swings, and I think that'd be a quite popular wildcard week. If I was wildcarding in 24, I'd probably go no Thiago, and then maybe look to get him back in game week 27. Because from 24, it's Villa away, Newcastle away, Arsenal home. And then 27, it's Brighton home, Burnley away, Bournemouth away, Wolves home. So, yeah, there's that little window there where you could hop off him and take on his ownership to potentially move up the ranks.
Well, Watkins is an interesting one. You mentioned Watkins with no Marlon anymore.
Yeah, obviously he blanked last game week, but he's been doing pretty well recently and pretty consistent, returning most games. In theory, maybe even more nailed, better minutes with Marlon leaving. But I do wonder if I'm looking at it wrong with going from a front three, because historically, and it's the same again this season, it's like the midfielders is where the points are at, and obviously the defenders as well for points per million. Like in terms of players that have scored 100 plus points, there's 5 defenders, there's 7 midfielders, only 2 forwards, and one of those is Haaland, the other one Thiago. So maybe I'm looking at it wrong and I should just move my money into midfield, but not really sure which mids. Like if I do Foden to Bruno, that's fine, but I don't know which other big hitters in midfield I even want right now, which is why I'm thinking maybe Watkins would be a nice differential for a little while. The fixtures are pretty nice as well from game week 24. I won't buy this week, Newcastle away, but in 24, Brentford home, Bournemouth away, Brighton home, Leeds home, Wolves away. It's quite a nice run. So yeah, I'm thinking about him, and obviously I've got Ekitike, so do you. So it's like they're the exact same price, I think. So yeah. I could just make that swap one to the other in one move.
I'm just waiting for that like game from Ekitike, you know, having owned him, because he had it just before I think we bought him. Yeah. He got he got 213 points in a row, didn't he, against Brighton and Spurs. And then since then, it's been really poor. 5-2, misses 2 games, and then blanks against Burnley. So I feel it's coming. Like, he played so well in that game against Burnley, putting ridiculously high XG, hit the post, an XGI of 1.2. If he's going to be hitting those levels, he's going to get returns. But Bournemouth away, Newcastle, Man City, Sunderland away. I mean, you'd hope it would be in the next two, right? You'd hope it would be against Bournemouth or Newcastle.
Yeah,
but if he blanks in those, if he blanks in those, though, his price is gonna tank, and we need to seriously be thinking of getting rid. And I think, like you say, I think you go into midfield again, right? You move that money into midfield.
That's where I'm at. It's either Watkins or down to a cheap forward like a Kroupy or a Mané from Wolves, and then upgrade in midfield. Yeah, he did all the hard work for that goal they did score against Burnley. Like, took a couple of players on, and the ball got squared back by Jones, and it was Wirtz. Wirtz is actually third for XGI over the last six game weeks, which is quite surprising, perhaps, maybe not, after Schade and Thiago. Obviously, it was a really slow start to the season for Wirtz, but he is showing good underlying numbers. But
yeah, the fixtures aren't there. Like, Newcastle home after Bournemouth next game week, and then Man City home. So they just feel like sells to me. I will keep them for Bournemouth away, but I'm definitely selling Gakpo and Ekitike in game week 24.
The other surprising stat, maybe to some listeners, 4.54 expected goals conceded for Liverpool over the last six is literally top in the entire league.
Mm.
So that was also really frustrating for them to lose that clean sheet, because, as I say, I had Van Dijk. I just don't know defenders right now outside of Arsenal. It all feels a bit tricky. I mean, Chow's been doing quite well. Tarkowski, I suppose. Van Dijk's been super disappointing, but I could see myself just keeping him and just ride out those two difficult games in 24 and 25. Have you got Van Dijk?
No, I dodged that wagon completely, which I'm very happy with. I mean, I've still got Timber over Gabriel, so I need to be looking to make that move. I mean, other than Gabriel, there's a lot of good options, but it's hard to know which are the real standouts. I've got Timber, Senesi, Tarkowski. So I've got the three, Senesi and Tarkowski got the two main DEFCON guys, and that is just where I'm targeting it at the moment. It's just all about which players are getting good DEFCON. I've got Chow as well. He's actually been really good for me the last few weeks. He's so up and down though. I mean, it's 17 points one week, it's minus one the next.
Yeah. He had that mega haul, didn't he?
I know, it's very strange, but yeah, that's where I'm my plan is just, I don't want to be messing around with defenders too much. I think the value is in midfield. I want to move some money out of the attack into the midfield and just get those defenders locked in. And I've held Senesi throughout all this run. I mean, he's been getting DEFCON like all the time, but just not getting the clean sheets. I'm hoping that turns around with their fixtures getting a bit better. Tarkovsky's got Branthwaite coming back, so I think if you've got Keane, you may be a little bit worried. He's back in training now, so I'm glad I've got him and don't have to make a move there. But I need to be moving for Gabriel. He's just, I think his price is going up again. You've got him in already, haven't you?
Yeah, I actually did the Timber to Gabriel switch last game week, and I got a bit of criticism. It's like, that's a sideways move. But even then, I think he outscored Timber by like three or four points.
I should have done it. I could have done it as well, and I didn't.
Mate, I'm totally there with you. I should have done it weeks ago because I had the exact money for it, and I just thought I might need these transfers later. So I didn't, and I only got around to doing it last game week, so way later than I should have. And obviously, Gabriel like scored those back-to-back goals as well, so... Yeah, it is what it is. Like, sometimes the patience is rewarded. Sometimes you need those transfers, sometimes you don't. The last thing I want to say on Liverpool, obviously, Szoboszlai as well. He'd scored 20 out of 21 penalties in his career before that game. And then he goes and misses, and it was Gakpo that won it. So again, that was quite painful because Gakpo was my punt for that Burnley home game. So one more week for Gakpo, and then he's straight back out. One defence, and I think you had one of them in your team, Leeds beating Fulham 1-0, really late winner. Is it Goodmanson you've got in your team?
Yeah. I know.
Anderson with 9 DEFCONs. So he just came one short of the 10 DEFCON points as well there, which is really unfortunate. And obviously it was a stoppage time winner as well. Wilson with the blank, though, high ownership. I'll take that. I'm looking at Rodon. I mean, Goodmanson's great as well. I think they're about the same price, but I think Rodon's really nice. There's not that many games you'd be comfortable starting him, but he's literally 3.9 mil. So what more can you ask for? Great for DEFCONs. He's the main man. They've got Forest home in game week 25. You could start him in game week 29, Sunderland home. But for me, it'd just be like a nice cheap enabler to kind of fund some moves elsewhere potentially.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about Leeds in general is they've got this new system now under Farke, and it's working really, really well. Like, you can see the exact point in which he switched the system to this like three at the back, wing back system. And they've had like one loss in the last like 10 games, I think, or something like that. So it's working really, really well for them. I think they're pulling away now from the relegation scrap, or at least I think they will. I think there's teams worse than them down below. And yeah, they've got a couple of like all right fixtures over the next. I mean, they've got Everton next, they've got Forest coming up, they've got Sunderland at home in 29. So if you're looking for a cheap defender, Rodon is the one. I have got Goodmanson. I don't know why I've got Goodmanson, and I don't know why I played him this week, but it's just how my team was.
It paid off.
It did in the end, just about. I saw there was a goal notification and it came up, and I was like, it's just obviously going to be Fulham and it's going to wipe out that one. And luckily it was the other way around. But I wouldn't advise getting Goodmanson unless you are very, very light on money, because he is very cheap. He's 3.8, but he doesn't get any attacking returns. He never gets DEFCON. So you're completely reliant on the clean sheet. You might as well get Rodon. One more routes to points.
Yeah, similar situation with Sunderland. Like Ryan Nildo back from AFCON, he's 3.8 million. But then there's Alderete, who's better for DEFCONs. Mukiele's really been excellent. I think he's like 4.4 mil now. There was one other game that's not particularly FPL relevant, but maybe quickly cover it. Spurs 1, West Ham 2. Brutal result of that. Spurs, they're actually sixth best defence over the last six, but they've been one of the worst attacks. Bowen hits DEFCON though. That's the third time he's done it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's only forward that's been doing it. So
do you want your forward hitting DEFCON?
Well, not, that's not why I buy them. But if you've got him, I guess you take it. But I think that's, third time he's hit DEFCON, and he's got a higher success rate hitting DEFCON than Saliba. Still only like 14% of games, but that's quite funny, isn't it, that Bowen, striker's doing more than Saliba. What did you make of this game, if anything?
I don't want to be too down. I know, there'll be Spurs fans listening to this who already have got a lot of, bad things about what they've seen so far this season. I can't quite believe that they lost at home to West Ham. I mean, how West Ham have been, performing. That loss they had last week to Forest was absolutely brutal, when they were 1-0 up in that game. And I don't think many people really gave them much of a chance in this match, but fair play to them. But I wouldn't be rushing to buy West Ham players, let's put it that way. I don't think, even though Bowen's getting DEFCON, I know Somerville's been looking quite good. Pacatar is we don't even know what's going on with him. He's got an injury, he's being linked away. They're not a team to invest in, definitely. I still think they're a team to target. And I think Spurs probably are falling into that bracket as well, because I think as long as Frank stays there and things don't turn around, there's no confidence in that side at the moment. So it's Burnley. They've got Burnley next, and I've got Dubravka in goal. I think I'm just going to play him in that game.
Yeah, you're starting him, are you?
I think I might. It's him or Verbruggen. And as a Brighton fan, I've watched us really struggle against Fulham in previous encounters. So
yeah.
I think Dubravka against Spurs, he could do all right this week.
I think Dubravka ended up on 5 points. He did, despite conceding. Interesting. I've got to finally talk about this game, because this was probably my favourite game of the whole weekend. Sunderland 2, Crystal Palace 1. So as I said at the start of the podcast, I had Lefay, 1% owned. He's my super differential.
That's amazing.
I've just bought him because he's got the free kicks, some corners and the penalties. So he's got a few routes to points. Kind of like how Tavernier is cheap, but a few routes to points. Well, obviously Tavernier injured. I'll talk about that in a sec as well. But yeah, Lefay scores, Mukiele assists. So I was absolutely buzzing with that, because I had both of them in my team. Is there anything better than when a player scores for you and you also got the player that assisted them?
No.
It's just, especially when they're differentials. So that was like so good. I was really happy with that. And Sunderland unbeaten in 11 home Premier League games. Like absolute fortress. Crazy how well they're doing straight after coming up, isn't it, Sunderland?
I love it. I think it's just such a good story for them. They've got this incredible stadium. They've had this amazing fan base all these years, and it's not been great for them. They made so many signings, in the summer. I think when we've seen that historically, it's not always worked out too well. We've seen it with teams that have been promoted and really struggled. But they're sitting in ninth from 33 points. They're 1 point behind Chelsea, for example, 2 points behind Manchester United. They're not a million miles off Champions League places. which really would be incredible. And the main thing is they get their players back from AFCON now. Like we thought when they went off they would really struggle, and they've managed to keep the momentum going. Okay, it's been a lot of draws. I think they had four successive draws before this game, but you've got to think they're going to kick on and do quite well, because they're a really, really hard team to beat, particularly at home. And I don't think anyone wants to go to the stadium like and play them. They've got a system that was, look at Ballard, for example. He's putting in like crazy numbers still in defence. You've got Mukiele picking up assists and DEFCON. You've got Roofs in goal, who looks like one of the best standout keepers. The only problem is there's not really any attackers we'd consider. Yeah. Maybe Brobby as a bit of a punt, but again, I think when you've got Kroupi and Mané, I think you probably just stick with those two. But yeah, great team. I'm so happy to see him doing well.
I mean, Robbie's outscoring Haaland recently, so he can save 10 million there. Yeah, Glasner, he came out swinging after the game as well. Like, he said, "I've kept my mouth shut until now, but you get your heart torn out twice this season, both times one day before a game. It happened with Eze, and now with Gueye." And then he said, "I heard yesterday that we're selling Gueye, and then we have to deal with it. No team should do this. Crystal Palace are fine to end the season like this," talking about the owners. And then he said, "Whether that's with Glasner or another manager, I don't know." As you were saying, like, West Ham have been one of the teams to target, but Palace are looking like that as well. So like, over the last six game weeks, it's Burnley and West Ham that are the two worst defences for expected goals conceded. Third worst is Crystal Palace, and they've got Chelsea next. So I'm not opposed to actually going a week early on Enzo.
No, I mean, they've got Munoz out. They've had Gueye moving. There's links with Mateta potentially moving away, which, I mean, would leave them so light in attack. But they're a very thin squad, and Glasner spoke about that in the match. And they've got so many games coming up because they're still in Europe and they've got other things to play for. So I agree. I mean, I had Lacroix in my team for quite a while, and I moved him over to Tarkowski. And I still think Lacroix's not a bad pick, and yeah, Richards as well at 4-4-4, I think he is, because they do really well on the DEFCON points, and the fixtures are actually pretty good for Palace going forward. Once you get the Chelsea game out of the way, it's Forest, Brighton, Burnley, Wolves. That's a decent run. So if I had those players, I'm not sure I'd be looking as a priority to move them out, those defenders, and I will definitely be looking at Munoz when he's back, but I certainly wouldn't be buying any Palace players at the moment.
Yeah, I'd sort of earmarked Munoz as well. I had him earlier in the season and he was unbelievable for me. He was averaging over 6 points a game, Munoz. And yeah, Burnley home, Wolves home, back-to-back, 26 and 27 looks really good, especially when I'm thinking about selling Van Dijk. But I don't know now. I'll have to kind of see how the next three game weeks play out before then. Another premium defender that did well was, of course, Gabriel again. Nottingham Forest 0, no. Arsenal 0 though. Arsenal consecutive 0-0 draws in the Premier League. That's the first time since their opening two games in the 2012-13 season. That was against Sunderland Stoke. Not a single shot on target for Forest. So yeah, Arsenal again, like, defensively doing their job, and it's just the other end of the pitch, wasn't it? Martinelli missing an absolute sitter. 2.1 XG for Arsenal, but yeah, failed to take the chances. Saka benched.
Well, you mentioned about when your one of your players assists your other one. I mean, that Rice to Saka, like, near goal would have been absolutely lovely, because I've got both of those players. But Saka's becoming a problem now, I think, for a lot of us who, I mean, a lot of us had him over Rice, and we just watched Rice every week pick up DEFCONs, pick up goals, assists from corners. And Saka's been sort of ticking along. He's been picking up the odd return here and there, but giving away penalties, place a bit more at risk with Madueke coming in. And I think a lot of us thought, well, when 24 comes around, that's going to be an easy move over to Parma, because the fixtures are so good and it's Leeds away for Arsenal. But like we spoke about earlier, I'm not sure that's really what I'm looking to get. I mean, I want to get your take on it. I mean, you're the Arsenal fan. What are you making about of Saka at the moment? He doesn't look, from the outside point of view, he doesn't look as crucial to the way you're playing as he maybe has done in previous seasons, and there's options now to rest him.
Yeah, I mean, he's still like a crucial player for us, but yeah, because we've signed Madueke, there is always that potential for him to start over Saka. Maybe a little bit of a lesson learned to not just start Saka in that game, given failing to score. And I think it's going to be just the rare exception that he's benched, to be honest with you. So like, he definitely starts home to Man United, and I think Leeds away, Sunderland home after that isn't too bad. So I think it'd be a mistake to sell him, honestly. I can understand some people going to Rice, though, because, you know, Rice is outscoring Saka over the season. He's getting the DEFCONs, he's getting the goal involvement. So Rice is on course for like a really, really good season. And again, it's just too luxury right now. There's more other moves that I want to be making in Game Week 24. I think, again, if you were looking to wildcard, then yeah, maybe you go Rice over Saka. But I think right now, unless you're really sitting in a good spot with loads of transfers, I probably wouldn't be selling Saka, especially before a home game and Leeds away, Sunderland home. So yeah, I'm keeping for now. I think he's still a decent asset. And yeah, as you say, it's not like there's other premiums as well that we must have. Like, Palmer doesn't look like a must have. You know, Salah, obviously he's only just back from AFCON, but even before he went, he wasn't looking like a good FPL asset at the time. So I'm fine to just keep him for now, to be honest. I've got plenty of money. I don't need the money freed up. Anderson, DEFCON as well. He's on 13.7 DEFCONs per 90. That is literally top in the entire league this season across all positions. So yeah, he's looking a nice asset. I mean, it's not the most glamorous way to score points. It's kind of boring, isn't it? Just to hope for those four pointers or five if they keep the clean sheet. He does have an assist in him. Like, he takes some corners and that. But yeah, I guess he's not a bad option for 5.3 mil. I guess some people are going to be looking to sell Tavernier as well soon. So he could be a good option to replace with.
I've got him.
Have you? You already got
him? I've got him. Yeah, I got him. And you know what? At the start of the season, I was so against players like Casado and Anderson. And, you know, you only get them in for their, you know, their potential two extra points and all that. But because it's so hard to predict where attacking returns are going to come from around players from around 5 to, you know, even 6 million. And you look at players like Tavernier getting injured, being maybe a bit reliant on penalties with him. You look at someone like Wilson, who looks great, but has the, you know, isn't getting these returns every week. And these 2 points just stack up over the weeks. And yeah, I've had him for 3 weeks now. He's hit DEFCON all of those. He got an assist against West Ham. He's taken some corners, which I really like as well. He's on some free kicks too. So he has got a couple of extra routes to points that aren't just DEFCON. And I just think I'm just going to play him every week. Yeah. If he's getting 4 points every week and he's going to hit 150, 160 points of 5.3 million.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
This is it. Like, you have to look at fixtures differently when it's a defensive mid and a DEFCON asset like him. Like, you look at Arsenal and you never want to start an attacker who playing Arsenal. But if it's a defensive mid, then you do. And Anderson, of course, he gets the 5-pointer. Like, that's fine. It's like a player getting an assist and no bonus. Same thing in his case with that clean sheet point. So yeah, I think he's a nice asset. As I say, not the most glamorous.
Not the most glamorous.
So you have Chow, did you? So Wolves nil, Newcastle nil. You got a 9-pointer from Chow, right? You got the 3 bonus.
Yeah, I'm delighted. I'm delighted with that. I mean, he's been a very frustrating pick because I bought him in after he got those 2 goals against Everton. And his points in the games I played him for were 1-2, 3-1-2. So you're like, oh, that's 4 blanks after a 16-pointer. And then he gets the 4 points against Burnley, gets 17 points against Crystal Palace, which was incredible. He then gets minus one, which obviously isn't great, but then the 9 points with Wolves. So it's starting to work for him and the fixtures have been good. But the trouble is the fixtures for Newcastle now, they're a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, it's Villa next, it's Liverpool away, it's Brentford, it's Spurs, it's Man City away. You know, it's tricky, but in a way, it's nice because I quite like my other defensive options, and it just means I can move him in and out when he's got a good fixture, so I can target. I think Villa at home is okay for him. I expect him to get DEFCON in that. Yeah. Brentford at home is decent in 25. Spurs in 26. I'm happy to play him for those three, and then potentially move him out to other players for 24 and 27. But again, would I be buying him? You know, he's done well the last 3 weeks, but with those fixtures, I don't think I'd be buying a Newcastle defender right now.
Yeah, I think the next entry point is Game Week 28, where they start with Everton home, then Man United home, Chelsea, Sunderland, Palace. Yeah, I think for me, I'm struggling to look at fullbacks now. Obviously, Hall has been a popular pick because there's always that goal involvement potential, but just DEFCONs are such a more reliable source of points, aren't they? Like, Hall's got 2 assists this season for 6 points, but Chow's hit DEFCON 7 times for 14 points. So he's got 8 extra points, and that's excluding any goal involvements for Chow. Obviously, Hall's missed quite a few games, 11 starts, Chow of 18, but it really just feels like it's all about the DEFCONs this season. There are some exceptions for sure, like Timber has looked a good pick. He's best for expected goal involvement, but yeah, overall, I'm just kind of targeting the centre-backs and the DEFCON potential. Obviously, Tarkowski hitting DEFCON away at Villa as well. I think so. I think that was an 8-pointer he ended up getting, and picked the first keeper to 100 points as well. 11.18 DEFCONs per 90 for Tarkowski. That's second among all defenders. Senesi's the only one that's got more, with just over 13 per 90. 2 goalless games, though, for Villa in a row in the league. So I'm kind of wavering on Ekitike to Watkins. I'll have to see maybe how this next game it goes away at Newcastle and then make a call there.
Well, Rodgers is a funny one, isn't he? Because I've been put off him a bit because his underlying data hasn't always been great. He had good numbers against West Ham and Manchester United, but still overperformed with those 4 goals that he got in those games. But in other games, you know, he regularly hit sort of like 0.2 XGI per 90. That's not great numbers. But in this game, you know, he put in really, really good numbers. You know, 0.84 against Everton in this game. Very unlucky, you know, not to get something out of this game. A lot of investment because the fixtures are obviously really good over the next couple of games. 32% ownership, though. He's a player that I do worry about every week.
In my rank as well, he's about 50% ownership, effective ownership, because he's quite higher owned in the top 100K. So he does scare me, but yeah, hopefully he's not listening, because he did actually say, I think XG is a load of nonsense. That's what he said after the game. And he said, it feels like a crime because I'm scoring goals and XG is putting me down. He is unbelievable finisher. Like, he's got a great strike in him for range. And there was that one actually, that curler, it was heading almost like top right corner and Pickford just about reached to push it over. So yeah, he looks really nice, and the high ownership does scare me a little bit. I think I'd still rather Enzo from 24, but maybe I can kind of have the best of both worlds if I was to get Watkins and kind of have a little bit of coverage there, if I can say coverage. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
From 24 though, you've got Brentford, Bournemouth, Brighton, Leeds, Wolves. I mean, to be going into those five with no Villa attacking coverage, like you say, is definitely a bit of a concern. I do think there's some concerns though, again, about their squad, the squad depth. We spoke about it with Palace. You know, they've got a lot of games coming up. They've got rid of Marlon. Gusson came in, and I don't think he looked great in that game. And maybe he needs a bit more time to develop in the side. But I think now with Marlon leaving, he's probably going to get more opportunities. And Rodgers is just going to play 90 minutes week in, week out, which in some ways is great, but also is a bit of a concern that they can't really change things up maybe if they need to do so. They're right up there, Villa, you know, right up there. They're chasing, you know, the pack, but I do wonder if they're going to fall away a little bit. But they do have the fixtures to kick on. I think you want, this is basically a long-winded way of me sort of sitting on the fence, but I will come off the fence and say I do think you want a Villa attacker from 24. And whether that is Rodgers or Watkins is up to you, but I think you do want one of them.
I'm glad you said that, because I'm sort of looking at the Ekotike to Watkins move. It just kind of makes sense given, you know, Ekotike and Liverpool's underperformances and the fixtures when you compare them side by side. So yeah, I think that's where I'm at. Should we talk about the very last game then? Brighton 1, team, and Bournemouth 1. So, I mean, Tavernier was someone that I've been looking at, because obviously with Semenyo gone and Kluivert out with surgery, I really liked him for 5.5 million because of the free kicks, corners, penalties, you know, great fixtures. And they get the penalty and he scores it, of course. So that's the Verbruggen clean sheet wiped. I think you've got him, right? You can't resist a Brighton asset, can you? I was saying just before we went live, like, you cannot resist having at least one in your team, can you?
Yeah, going for the defenders is always the worst one, though, because as soon as they lose the clean sheet, you're like, ah, damn, that was annoying. But I mean, I had Minte for ages and that didn't go particularly well. Verbruggen's actually been all right for me this season. And you know, it's always frustrating when your goalkeeper concedes, but it's always quite exciting as well when you see him, you know, attempting to save a penalty, especially against Tavernier, who I know he's been bought in by quite a few people. So yeah, bit disappointing with that. But I thought Brighton were really poor in the first half, really, really poor. And then stepped it up a little bit more in the second half. And I know we want to talk about Tavernier, but oh, that goal. I mean, the overhead kick. What an equaliser.
Yeah, bicycle kick as well. Yeah, unbelievable finish. Oh, well, he's not like an FPL relevant asset just yet. He's only 18, right? What's his name again?
I'll be honest, I don't remember.
Kostoulas. Unbelievable finish. To equalise like that, amazing. Yeah, I'm happy for the lad. Yeah, the headline was, well, maybe not, maybe from an FPL perspective, was the Tavernier injury, though. Hamstring. Iriola says he felt his hamstring and to lose him now is massive. And he said, yeah, he's out. So that's not great. And that's his fourth hamstring injury in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
He's missed 5, 5, 4, and 8 games in all competitions with his last four hamstring injuries. So that is a shame, because I was looking at him. I mentioned earlier, I was looking at Rodon. I was thinking something like O'Reilly to Rodon, and then I could do, I've got Barr. He's like this 4.3 mil dead spot on my midfield. I was looking at moving him up to Tavernier, but yeah, I'll have to rethink that one now. But yeah, big loss for Bournemouth on top of Semenyo leaving.
Well,
I do wonder about Kruppi though, for I think he's 4.6 million. I don't know if he'll be the one that takes penalties in his absence, but he's been starting games. He scored something like 6 goals this season, really cheap. Yeah, he's been getting the start, so he looks quite nice as a third forward to start here and there. They have got some nice fixtures coming up as well, Bournemouth. They've got Wolves away in 24, 26 Everton, then they've got West Ham, Sunderland, Brentford, Burnley. So there's some good games coming up for Bournemouth. So I like Kroupi if you need a cheap forward. Just don't plan on starting him every game, just in case, you know, there are the occasional benchings there.
I think he's probably the one, isn't he? I think if you're looking to move money out of your forward line and go down to, a 4-5, 4-6 option, then Kroupi is the one. Like I mentioned him or Mane, but I think with those fixtures and the fact that basically all the other attacking options are now either injured or have left to another club, it just means Kroupi's going to start, I think, the majority of games, unless they buy in Jan, which surely they will do, right? I'm sure they have to make a couple of purchases, but... Yeah, I like Kroupi. He's a great enabler. Put that money into midfield, get yourself a Rodgers or an Enzo or someone like that, and then kick on. Because 24 is a big week. There's a lot of fixture swings going on. We've mentioned quite a lot of the fixtures that are happening, you know, early in the pod. But if you've got transfers, you know, you might be thinking about playing the wild card, all things like that. I think it's quite a big week in our seasons from 24.
Yeah, and we're expecting more signings before the window closes, of course. So that's something to keep an eye out for. Iriola sort of alluded that there's going to be more signings coming in. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that and the other teams. It's been a really good chat, Az. I've really enjoyed that. We're back in the swing now of European football this week as well. So just be mindful of going too early with those transfers, unless your wild card is active, of course.
And Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday to look ahead to Game Week 23. And we'll discuss what to do about the premiums, especially Haaland, who you mentioned earlier. His form has certainly dipped.
And if you haven't already, make sure you join the FPL Pod Mini League. The code is XY6XPL. Az, it's been a pleasure. Good luck next game week.
You too, mate.